With President Obama's time in the White House winding down, on today's 21st, we'll talk about his legacy from when he first announced on the steps of the old state capitol back in 2007.
I stand before you today to announce my candidacy for President of the United States of America.
His final speech this week in Chicago as President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, it has been the honor of my life to serve you.
We'll also hear from Washington lawmakers like Congresswoman Sherry Bustos on what President Obama's legacy means to them.
Anybody who's had the good fortune of being able to be in a conversation with him say that while he's been the president for the last 8 years, he's a real person.
And we want to hear from you. What impact has President Obama had on you, on Illinois? Give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. It's all coming up, but first, the latest news. Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. 13 years ago, an Illinois state senator named Barack Obama burst onto the national scene at the Democratic National Convention in Boston.
On behalf of the great state of Illinois, crossroads of a nation, land of Lincoln, let me express my deepest gratitude for the privilege of addressing this convention. Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely.
People throughout Illinois, especially in Springfield and Chicago, already knew that self-described skinny kid with a funny name. Soon the whole world would, too. And here's some of what they heard.
It was here in Springfield, where north, south, east, and west come together, that I was reminded of the essential decency of the American people, where I came to believe that through this decency, we can build a more hopeful America. And that is why, in the shadow of the old state capitol, where Lincoln once called on a house divided to stand together, where common hopes and common dreams still live, I stand before you today to announce my candidacy for president of the United States of America.
Hello, Chicago. If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
We got a lot done. We're still getting a lot done. And our political system helped make these things possible. And the list could go on. There's no doubt America's better off today than when I took office.
My fellow Americans, it has been the honor of my life to serve you. I won't stop. In fact, I will be right there with you as a citizen for all my remaining days. But for now, whether you are young or whether you're young at heart, I do have one final ask of you as your president. The same thing I asked when you took a chance on me 8 years ago. I am asking you to believe, not in my ability to bring about change, but in yours. I am asking you to hold fast to that faith written into our founding documents, that idea whispered by slaves and abolitionists, that spirit sung by immigrants and homesteaders and those who marched for justice, that creed reaffirmed by those who planted flags from foreign battlefields to the surface of the moon, a creed at the core of every American whose story is not yet written. Yes, we can. Yes, we did. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you. May God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Those are moments from the past 8 years, starting on the steps of the old Capitol in February 2007, the past 10 years, I should say. Grant Park in November 2008, addressing the Springfield State House legislator in 2016. And of course, this past Tuesday at McCormick Place. There's been just three American presidents who've claimed Illinois as their home. Today, we talk about the impact of President Barack Obama on his home and ours, Illinois. And we want to hear from you listening. How has President Obama had an effect on your life? What do you think his legacy will be? Give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show, 21st Show, your thoughts. We're going to go all over the state today, hear from some of our Illinois delegation who've been working with the president in Washington. But like President Obama did this week, we're going to start in Chicago. Laura Washington is a columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times. She's a political analyst with ABC 7. Laura, welcome back to the 21st.
Great to be here, Nyla.
Laura, as you listen to all of that, I think that there are many in Chicago who look to President Obama, the symbolic nature of having the first black president being from Illinois, and say, I bet there are a lot of people who'd say they think it's inevitable that he came from the south side of Chicago. And I wonder what you think about that, especially when you think of the legacy of people like Chicago Mayor Harold Washington. How do you trace that path?
Well, of course, as you know, Nyla, President Obama, in many ways, modeled his career after Harold Washington's in terms of his ability and desire to reach out to do community building, to do community organizing, to connect with people. That was something that Harold Washington was pivotal to his success as mayor and his election as the first black mayor. And in fact, Obama came to the south side of Chicago, after Harold Washington had left us, but around that time, but came because Harold Washington, in many ways, had laid that groundwork. So there's a real close tie there. There's also the fact that the South Side of Chicago is, in many ways, the capital of Black America. And if you want to be the first Black president, in terms of the resources, the connections, the relationships, the politicians that have come out of this city, out of the South Side, and not only Harold Washington, but going back many decades before Harold Washington, you have to come to Chicago and you have to come to the South Side.
And I think it's so interesting, especially this week, to read the national media takes, the reporters who are going to places like Altgeld Gardens, talking to residents there, saying this is where he was an organizer. Did he do enough for you in the past 8 years? What do you think Chicago's saying now, Laura?
Well, the question is, what is enough? There has been progress, and he and his administration will be the first to tell you that they've knocked down some barriers. First of all, the most obvious one by becoming the first black president, but they'll talk about raising graduations and rates across the country. They'll talk about lowering poverty rates. They'll talk about the great work they've done around infrastructure, climate change, the wars. All of these things are sweeping, of course, Obamacare. All these things are sweeping reforms and changes, but I think many people on the South Side would especially those in most need of change, working class and the poor, would say that they didn't feel like any of those changes really reached down to them. But despite that, the irony is that Barack Obama is probably not more popular to anywhere in the world than he is on the South Side of Chicago.
Right. Well, and when you think about that, Laura, if you think about the city, as you reflect back as someone who has been a journalist covering him for some time, what do you think the biggest, this is a tough question and it's a big question, so I want to give you time to
sure.
answer it. In terms of his impact, I'm going to start with Chicago, but also for Illinois.
Well, it's interesting that the other night he talked about, all the discussions the time he was elected, that we entered a post-racial era, and he said that he felt that we had made racial progress. I think that he's right in many ways because, not for the reasons maybe that would be obvious, but because he was the first African-American mayor, he kept race relations and he kept the issue of race front and center. You could not look away from race. And that's something that we have done for too long in our society. Sometimes it wasn't a positive conversation. There were many racial conflicts from the opposition he faced in Washington to some of the race-based policing that we've experienced in Chicago and around the country. But we kept that conversation on the front burner. And And that conversation, I think, in many ways shows that we have such a long way to go. In terms of Illinois, I think about his efforts when he was in Springfield as a state senator to work on a bipartisan basis, and he had some moderate success with that. He worked across the aisle with people like state senator at the time, Kirk Dillard, and others to push some of the legislation that would help build his record to take him to the White House. And I think he proved that could happen in Illinois. You could work on a bipartisan basis. You could work across the aisle. Unfortunately, he hit a brick wall when he got to Washington, D.C., and he wasn't able to export that sensibility to Washington.
Well, and it's so, as you say that, as I think about the bipartisan nature of what he was able to accomplish when he was in Springfield, I'm thinking back to last year when he addressed lawmakers in the Capitol, how different a tone, we're such a different time as a country. And, you know, every time we think it can't get worse in terms of the bipartisan nature of politics, whether we're talking about in Springfield or in Washington, it seems like it does. And I wonder how much you've seen his evolution as a leader from 8 years ago till today, when we think about working and reaching across the aisle?
You know, I think it's interesting because he was criticized early on in his administration for not being more vocal or being more vigilant in terms of pushing back on the Republican opposition and not calling them out and not, frankly, getting angry. And I think that he resisted that because that's certainly not who he is. He's not a name caller. He's not a screamer. But I think he evolved it politically when he, you know, several years in after the Democrats lost the House, he realized that he had to push back and not only push back, but give up on the idea of being able to work across the aisle. And, you know, he issued a number of executive orders and did a number of other things that cost him politically, that created a lot of unhappiness in the Republican Party, but at least he started to get some things done on his own. And I think he, in many ways, had to give up on the idea of bipartisanship, and that's a sad message not only for Washington but for us as well.
And I wonder about that. It also, so yesterday I was sort of going back through looking at that first speech in Boston in 2004, his convention speech in 2008. And it's almost like, in a way, that I contrast that, the hope and change that he talked about so long ago. It's not that long ago, I guess. What he said on Tuesday night. Did the tone, I wonder how much you think the tone and the subject matter that he chose for his farewell address kind of reflects the past 8 years.
I think that the theme of hope was still there, but it was a very much a tempered theme. For me, the message that was different was that he talked about democracy and he talked about the threats. I think it was much more contemporary given what's happened in the November election and what's happened in Washington the last several years. And he feels as though, and his message is that, yeah, maybe we haven't made as much progress as we have, but we can't afford to roll back because democracy is at stake, and democracy is a very precious thing. So it's not so much hope, but it's determination, and it's, you know, we have to roll up our sleeves and we cannot give up and we have to work even harder than ever. And I thought that was, you know, that was a very realistic and message, and perhaps not as naive as his message of hope was 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And when you look back on these past 8 years, Laura, and you think about I wonder how much you think, and it sounds like you're saying you think what Obama's lasting legacy will be as being our first Black president, and what that means, not just for, as you're saying, his popularity levels on the South Side of Chicago, but for people across the country and the world.
Absolutely. His popularity levels remain very high for this point in time in his presidency, and also in comparison with past presidents that at the same point in time. But he also, I think, is someone who's seen as honorable, ethical. One of the things that I hear people talk about is there was never any scandals in the White House, that he had a beautiful family life, a beautiful family, very personal. He had a very personal relationship with his family that he shared with the country. You saw that in his speech the other night. And I think, especially because of all the stereotypes that are out there about Black men, and that Black men are not like that, that they're the opposite of that, I think that symbolism, not just symbolism, but reality, is something that I think is very powerful that will, I think, continue to be remembered. It's a major part of his legacy.
We've been asking you to leave us messages about how President Obama affected you. Here's a voicemail from Jennifer in Urbana. She's originally from Hawaii and served on the Champaign County Board, which gave her a unique opportunity to interact with Barack Obama when he was an Illinois senator.
I served on the Champaign County Board for 30 years, and the last year I was running for office, Barack was running for U.S. Senate, and that was 2004. If you've been to rallies, you know the people running for the lower office are kind of like the warm-up team. So I had the fun of being the warm-up team at a rally in the Illini Union. So knowing that the candidate had roots in the roots, he was born in Hawaii, I wore my mu'umu'u and wore a kukui nut necklace, and I brought a handmade sign with the word Imua, I-M-U-A. That means go, onward, fight. And Barack saw that, and since then he has spoken of me as his Hawaii friend. And I just loved feeling that I knew him as a Hawaii Democrat, as an Illinois Democrat, and as a person with the worldview of someone who grew up in that amazing melting pot of Honolulu.
Echoes a lot of what you said, Laura Washington. Thanks, Jennifer and Urbana, for leaving us that voicemail. I want to thank Laura Washington. She's a columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times, a political analyst with ABC 7 Chicago, for joining us to talk about President Obama. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
You can join our conversation as well. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show, 21st Show. We'll continue this conversation in just a few minutes.
The 21st is made possible by
Thanks for tuning in to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. We're talking about President Obama this week. He delivered his farewell address from Chicago. We're talking about how Illinois is saying goodbye to him. We want to know what his impact has been on you, whether you think that's a positive or negative one. We'd love to hear your stories. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show, 21st Show. We've been hearing from, we wanted to hear from some of the Illinois delegation in Washington. We've been talking to them to hear what they thought about President Obama's impact on our state.
I see President Obama as somebody who never forgot where he came from. I don't think he's changed as a person as far as being able to relate to people.
His legacy of being the first African-American president and being from our home state is something that we'll be talking to our grandchildren about.
Time and again, the Obama administration has not forgotten where he came from, has not forgotten the city of Chicago.
Anybody who's had the good fortune of being able to be in a conversation with him one-on-one or in small groups would say that while he's been the president for the last 8 years, he's a real person.
I think as an Illinoisan, we ought to be proud that we had another Illinoisan that was in the White House.
It was Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, Congressman Rodney Davis, and Illinois Senior Senator Dick Durbin. To join us with your thoughts on President Obama, you can give us a call, 1-800-222-9455. Let's go now to Kent Redfield in Springfield. He's an emeritus professor of political science at the University of Illinois at Springfield. He works with the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform and Sunshine Project as well. Kent, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being with me.
Good to be here.
Kent, you first got to know President Obama when he was then Senator Obama back in 98, working on campaign finance reform in Springfield.
Yes, he was part of a group that was put together actually by former Senator Paul Simon, tried to get a bipartisan group together, got the governor and the four leaders to agree to appoint people to a commission to deal with ethics and campaign finance reform legislation, and Barack Obama was Senate President Sigmund Jones' representative on that commission as a freshman. And Ron Michelson, the former head of the State Board of Elections, and I were fortunate enough to kind of be the staff people for that. And so, I got to know him a little bit when he was a freshman senator. And, we don't usually think of Illinois and ethics in the same, Illinois politics and ethics in the same sentence, but this was an effort to deal with some scandals that had actually been, part of them in the Edgar administration. And this, the bill that came out of that was, had the gift ban, the ban on personal use, electronic filing and disclosures, some really good pieces of ethics legislation. And he was a good supporter of the initiatives that the non-for-profit group that I was associated with put forward. So when it's not a surprise to me that one of the things that people have commented on was, both that his administration in terms of ethical scandals, basically scandal-free, and then the integrity and the values of him as an individual. And so the way that he, thought about politics and tried to shape the political process, was rooted in a set of values that sometimes, are pretty much, they stand in pretty stark contrast to some of the worst things that people think about when you say Illinois politics.
That's Kent Redfield. He's an emeritus professor with political science at the University of Illinois at Springfield. He works with the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform and the Sunshine Project. Earlier this hour, we were talking about then-State Senator Obama's introduction, as Kent was just saying, to the national scene in Boston in 2004 at the Democratic National Convention. He was introduced then, as he was before he received the nomination for president in 2008, by Illinois Senior Senator Dick Durbin, who's on the line with us now from Washington. Senator Durbin, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being with us.
Sure. Good to be here.
I was watching, Senator, your introduction of then-Senator Obama before he received the nomination for president back in 2008. You talked about this other son of Illinois and the change he was going to bring. I wanted to ask, do you remember the first time you met Barack Obama?
Well, I remember hearing about him because the story was going around that there was an Illinois state senator who had written an autobiography, and I thought, that can't be true.
Nobody writes an autobiography in Springfield.
I don't expect anyone to read it. And so Loretta, my wife, and I invited Michelle and Barack to dinner up in Chicago and got to know them. This was before they had kids. I mean, we go back that far in our friendship. I knew he was an extraordinary person. I didn't believe at that moment he would be the president of the United States, but I came to be one of his champions when he made that effort.
Do you think President Obama has brought the hope and change he first promised back when he was first campaigning?
Well, I can tell you that is by definition tough to quantify. Did I think that he had a more hopeful presidency? Do I think he added to our national dialogue and that we're a better nation for his service? Of course. He has a style that I think, on reflection, is going to be one we appreciate. He was no drama Obama. He was low-key, unemotional, even in the face of personal attacks. I think that shows a lot of restraint, conviction, and courage, and is a pretty sharp contrast to his successor. So, I think from that point of view, representing our country, the first African-American president, the message of hope that he delivered in so many different ways really resonated and leaves a great legacy.
Senator Durbin, can I ask you a personal question? What are you going to miss personally most about working with President Obama?
I'm going to miss him and Michelle. Loretta and I are so close to both of them. Admire them so much, and just seeing them infrequently when he was elected to the presidency, was a shot in the arm. I mean, it just meant a lot to me. And I don't know that we'll be able to maintain that relationship. I hope we can in his new capacity. Now, from a political point of view, I'm going to miss having an Illinois president. It was from Springfield Railroad relocation all the way up to the issues of Chicago. You could find somebody in the administration of Barack Obama who knew what you were talking about.
They knew the towns. They knew, right?
Springfield. You know where Springfield is? Well, of course I do. You know, and so you'd go through these issues, and it would be easier to make your case. And the administration made some very important decisions for the future of our state.
What do you think? So that said, what do you think President Obama's legacy is for our state, for the people of Illinois?
Well, there's a source of great pride, and you saw it in his farewell speech the other night. The Grant Park rally of 8 years ago, the farewell speech at the McCormick Center this week. You know, there was a surge of gratitude and enthusiasm that follows his leadership. That's such a rare commodity today. So many people are negative and cynical about politics, and it's good to see that people are inspired in a positive way, not to hate somebody, but to believe that we can achieve a better thing, a better future for this country. I could go through a laundry list. I wouldn't even know where to start, but I don't know how to end the contributions and things he's done directly for our state. But I really believe that hopeful feeling of moving forward with the diversity of this country united behind our common cause is really his legacy.
Well, and as you think about his legacy, Senator Durbin, I can't help but think of issues that have been so important to you, immigration, the DREAM Act, a deferred action, and the conversations you've had this week. You've been so busy with confirmation hearings, notably with that of Attorney General Senator Jeff Sessions. You know, as you look ahead to a Trump presidency, I'm thinking about the Voterama. You've got really good energy in your voice, by the way, for having been up, I imagine, pretty late last night. I wonder how much you think this next administration will affect that legacy, dismantling what the president, this administration, you have worked on for the past 8 years.
Well, I'm sorry to say that with a few exceptions, the cabinet appointees of the president-elect raised serious concerns. Governor Perry of Texas, who announced when he ran for president he would abolish the Department of Energy, is now going to be the Secretary of Energy. A man named Pruitt, who is the Attorney General from Oklahoma, who has spent his professional life suing the Environmental Protection Agency, stopping their efforts for clean water and clean air, now will be in charge of the Environmental Protection Agency. You go through the list. This lady named DeVos from the state of Michigan, she is supposed to be the Secretary of Education. She has little or no contact with public education. She's been an advocate for charter schools. And, of course, that's a viable issue that should be discussed. But no background in public education. Then you have a man named Price, Congressman Price from Georgia, being in charge of Health and Human Services, who has called for privatizing Medicare, raising questions about our government's obligation when it comes to health care. So I entered this with real concern because some of the most fundamental issues and values are going to be challenged if these appointees play true to form.
Senator Dick Durbin is Illinois senior senator. One last question for you, Senator, as you think about not just the past 8 years, but as an Ida legacy, what does the next year look like for you? What are these next couple first 100 days of the Trump administration? What are your priorities?
Well, first and foremost, to find if there is common ground with this new president and his administration, if he wishes to move forward on infrastructure, for example. I hope we can find a way to do it. We desperately need it as a nation. He said as much. I hope he can convince the Republicans in Congress as well. But my responsibility is to work with this new president where I can, consistent with my values, to the benefit of people of Illinois and across the nation. Secondly, I know already we're going to be standing our ground and fighting. To think that 1.2 million people will lose their health insurance with the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, that's 1.2 million in Illinois. And to think of thousands that will be denied coverage or given coverage that isn't worth much is worth a battle, and I'll fight him on that. If there's a better replacement, bring it on. But we've been waiting 6 years with all these promises about replace and have yet to see a work product. Those are two illustrations. Infrastructure, maybe positive. Eliminating Affordable Care Act without replacing it with something good or better, that's worth a fight.
Senator Dick Durbin, Illinois senior senator, a friend of President Barack Obama. Thanks for being with us, Senator.
Thank you too, Nyla.
We've been talking to you about President Obama's legacy for Illinois. You can give us a call, 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show. Speaking of Senator Durbin just talking about Obamacare and ACA, we got a tweet from Chris asking, what's President Obama's impact been on you? He said, at age 26, insurance cutoff literally saved me from financial ruin. Being on parents' Aflac plan after serious diagnosis was crucial. We've got a caller as well, Ted from Petersburg near Springfield. Hey, Ted, welcome to the 21st. What do you think President Obama's legacy has been for you?
It was the first time my brother was able to get health insurance in years, and it really helped him out while he was still with us.
It sounds like something that that was really emotional and important for you as well.
Very much so.
Ted, thank you for that. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on the air. Welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. It's hard to be nuanced in 30 seconds.
No, go ahead.
But
you can have 45 seconds. How about that?
Okay. I tweeted a link to an article in the Washington Post that collects a lot of my misgivings about the Obama presidency, and it's mainly about economic issues. I really see the bailout of Wall Street and no bailout of Main Street that sort of reaping the whirlwind of that decision. The foreclosures that went ahead that shouldn't have gone ahead. There should have been some relief for the 99%, to use of the cliche. And it collects the arguments along with Cornel West's recent article, too, his misgivings about the Obama legacy. I really and it's hard, like I say, it's hard to be nuanced about this. Hearing the extent that people were helped by ACA.
What would you say his legacy is for Illinois?
Extremely, extremely mixed, and overall has dealt some damage.
Did you originally in 2008? Did you really believe in President Obama's sort of?
The screener asked me about that too, and I know I didn't. I've never voted for Obama ever. I didn't think I needed to, being from Illinois. He was going to win Illinois, and the race for federal Senate was so odd. There was a sex scandal involving the Republican candidate, guy that won it. So it was really sort of an accidental thing. I don't think he would have won against Jim Ryan, except for the expose that the Tribune did of his the reasons for his divorce. So I think Jim Ryan would have probably won if he'd kept his veneer on.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Paul. I appreciate it.
I hate to be the person that does it, but I really think that somebody needs to.
No, we appreciate it. We want to hear from. Thank you for that. Thanks for that call. We want to hear from everyone their thoughts about President Obama. This is your chance from everyone from Illinois to talk about your impact, whether you think it's positive or negative. We're going to continue this conversation in just a few minutes as we talk about President Obama's legacy for Illinois. We heard a little bit earlier. We just heard from Senator Dick Durbin. We are going to hear from Congressman Rodney Davis coming up. Sherry Boost as well, other of the Illinois delegation. You can join the conversation as well. Again, our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show. listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Keith, those tweets about President Obama's impact on you coming to 21STShow. That's our Twitter handle. You can call 1-800-222-9455. We're talking about President Obama's legacy, his impact on Illinois, what it means to you. Let's go to Ruth in Champaign. Hi, Ruth. Welcome to The 21st. What's President Obama's impact been on you?
I think the most important thing about his legacy is not just for Illinois, but it's in the fact that he and Michelle could preserve civility and grace in the face of so much that was uncivil and ungracious.
Thanks for that thought, Ruth. You know, as I mentioned, we have been talking to both the Illinois delegation in Washington. We'd love to hear from you. Earlier this week or yesterday, I had a chance to speak with Congressman Rodney Davis. He's a Republican representing Illinois' 13th district. Here are his thoughts on President Obama.
And I think President Obama is actually going to go down as one of the presidents who was able to work with leadership in Congress to really try to address some of the major fiscal issues. However, those steps forward got marred in the debate moving forward to try and fix some of those fiscal concerns. So I wish he could have done more in that aspect, but I will give him credit. Before I got here, there were some areas where he did have some bipartisan support and even surprised people like me.
That's Congressman Rodney Davis, a Republican representing Illinois' 13th congressional district, covers a large swath of central Illinois. Let's go to David Miller. David is calling in with us. Hey, David, welcome to the 21st. You're a former state representative who worked with President Obama.
That's correct. I was in the House while I actually first met State Senator Obama while he was running for Congress. And I wasn't even elected at the time, but got to know him through actually his wife, Michelle.
And what do you think his legacy will be?
Well, the most important thing to me is the fact that way back when Barack Obama was talking about universal health care, changing the health care system, he's talking about young people getting more involved in politics and changing the face of politics. And the truth of the matter is that the message is that for those who want to keep those visions and values, you can actually ascend to the highest office in the land and in the world. And so for somebody to back then, when no one knew his name, he was just a skinny kid with a funny name, to President of the United States, based on the things that you see in a longitudinal way that what he's done, says that those budding children or students who are interested in politics, interested in making a change, you can actually do that. And he's living proof of that. And that's the legacy that he leaves with generations beyond our years.
Thanks to former State Representative David Miller. Thank you for joining us. We've got a few more minutes left if folks want to call 1-800-222-9455. Let's go to Chris in Decatur. Chris, to the previous caller, former State Representative David Miller's thoughts, do you also found the president inspirational in the political realm?
Yeah, I saw him very inspirational. I never really had any interest in politics until 2007 or so, whenever Obama first announced, or whenever I first found out that he was running for president. I was actually a part of the United Church of Christ, which he is a member of. And when I found out that he was going to be speaking at this, it's like a convention kind of thing, and it was before he was running, I actually kicked myself in the butt a few months later because I didn't get a go and listen to him. And it's actually kind of like making me want to pursue a career in politics myself.
Chris, do you mind if I ask your age?
Yeah, I'm 28.
So did you hear what President Obama said on Tuesday night about sort of the younger generation and how much faith he has in them? Is it something you kind of took heart in?
Yeah. I mean, he's just inspired a lot of people my age just to get out there and vote. I just feel like he's been a big inspiration in general to everyone.
Thanks for sharing those thoughts. That's Chris in Decatur. If you want to give us a call, our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. Kent Redfield's with me, Emeritus Professor of Political Science at the University of Illinois at Springfield. Kent, as you listen to all this, it is sort of an intangible legacy of inspiration that we're hearing from all of these people. I wonder if with your background in political science, that is something that's intangible and maybe hard to qualify, but could you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, sure. I think getting people interested in politics and having some kind of something concrete that represents what engagement looks like and what are the positive things that can happen. I think that's terribly important. And so, you know, when people talk about, you know, someone with grace and dignity and the way that he's handled himself in office and the way he's dealt with adversity and the negative attacks, from the birtherism, you know, we can just run through the whole list of things. I think that's, you know, that having that kind of role model out there and that kind of concrete, you know, embodiment of, you know, that getting engaged, can have positive impacts. I think that's terribly important. I think we get a little hung up sometimes on when we talk about legacy and we talk concretely, you know, will we
policy
appeal?
Or achievements,
yeah.
Right? People talk about ACA. Those are very tangible things people point to, obviously.
And even when we personalize that, well, are we going to repeal Obamacare? Well, you know, we may or may not change what's the name of the law in the books. The fact of the matter is that the agenda has been defined, that he put universal access to health care on the national agenda, that everything that is the Republican Congress and President-elect Trump are going to do are going to be in reference to that. How do we keep people on insurance for till they're 26? How do we not end up having a lot of people lose their coverage? And so, you know, it's all about, is there a better way to get there rather than arguing about is health care, a right or not? We haven't said that explicitly in terms of public policy, but we have moved so far in terms of accepting that, the idea that it's unconscionable to have people in American society who are suffering because they can't get health care. And so, you know, I think that, you know, we may slow down the progress on women's rights, on gay rights, but we're not going backwards. You know, we're not having people coming in and saying, no, we're not going to have gays in the military. No, we're not going to have women in combat. However you think about
that. Right, if you think about same-sex marriage and those issues as well.
Can
I ask you a question about, we're not going back there, but what struck me as I listened to Ruth talking about civility, Chris, David Miller talking about their inspiration, the idea of how inspiring he was, I can't help but think about this past year. And we have, if you look over the span of 8 years, you look at the deep divisions that have happened in this country over the past 8 years, the discourse, the lack of civility that we've seen. I mean, I wonder how much of that is, I don't want to say legacy, but how do you square that with what President Obama has stood for, what everyone's saying about how inspired they are, that this president that we've just elected is someone who's the complete opposite?
Well, the divisions, you know, were there when he became president. The fact that we've confronted them and put them out there publicly, you know, that does make them seem, you know, even greater. Even more stark than they are. I mean, they're always there. It's in his comments in his farewell address about, you know, the idea that somehow we were in a post-racial America. You know, that was never the case. That was never going to be suddenly we have a black president, now we're not going to talk about race anymore, race doesn't matter. And so, you know, some of the most difficult conversations come after you acknowledge that there are things that are very contentious that you have to address, that people are not getting health care, that discrimination on the basis of sex and race is still a problem in 2017, and it's difficult. Then, you know, change is always difficult and contentious. So I don't think that's asking way too much of one individual to suddenly fix all of these things, because the problem was we were papering over so many things and not acknowledging them. You know, climate change is real. It's out there. You know, and it's the conversation has now evolved to, you know, how do we address it? and that makes for tough decisions. If you ignore things, you don't have to make tough decisions. You don't have to have tough conversations.
We're talking to you about President Obama's legacy, his impact on Illinois. You, all of you listening, have been joining the hour, the conversations we've been having, whether it's Senator Dick Durbin or you listening. Let's go to Kay in Champaign. Hey, Kay, welcome to the 21st. How has President Obama most affected you?
I have been impressed in a way that is not serious, but I think left a legacy, and that is that he seemed to have an awfully good sense of when to lighten the load, both he and Michelle, a sense of when to bring a sense of comedic timing. I remember when he said, you know, this is what a feminist looks like, and the way the interplay between the two of them, and I don't know, he set a high bar of when to just tell the nation, okay, we're going to ease up here for a moment, and especially with the fact that the news is always heavy, it's always tough. And he seemed to sense, he reminded me of Kennedy, of his ability to work with the press and be at ease at times when we most needed somebody to be able to do that. And that's not easy. And that's a gift, and I'm going to miss it.
Kay, thanks for that. Thanks for that. And also thanks for pointing out, we've heard, you know, I've been asking about President Obama all this hour, but you also pointed out Michelle Obama. And we've heard lots of people mention her and the two of them together and how that has made such a difference in their lives. So I appreciate that. Kent, you know, we've just got, we've really just got a minute or two left here. And I just curious your final thoughts on all of this as we looked ahead to next week, to President Obama stepping down, to President-elect Trump being inaugurated. What you think, let me just ask the big question. You know, 25 years from now, what are people in Illinois going to remember about President Obama?
Oh, I think the first black president, the first really urban president in terms of someone with that set of experiences, And the way that he handled himself in office, and his ability to set and move forward an agenda that really resonates with, I mean, if you look at the public opinion polls, things that he thought were important are things that young people accept and believe that we should be making progress on. And so, you know, whether it's a contentious 4 years or 8 years, I'm very hopeful about the future, and I credit the president for setting a tone and an agenda that I think makes some things possible.
Well, I wonder, do you think, President Obama talked about this. Do you think, as he always says this, America's best days are still yet to come?
Oh, I think that's definitely, I'm always optimistic about that. But his words were also, very, very accurate that this is not a given, that it is about getting engaged and getting involved and understanding that, citizenship is not a spectator sport. And, there's a tremendous future out there, but, we have to take it, and we have to do it in a way that where we can, look for problems, look for common ground in terms of solving problems. And so I'm fearful about a lot of specifics, but certainly not about, ultimately the potential for where we're going.
Kent Redfield is an emeritus professor of political science at the University of Illinois at Springfield. Kent, thanks for being with us this hour. It's been
certainly great
to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks to everyone who called, who tweeted, who joined our conversation. That's all the time we have for today. You can always find past shows on the NPR One app if you search for the 21st. We're also available on iTunes and Android. All of those links, every other way to contact us, whether it's phone, email, or social media, is at our website, 21stshow.org. We're produced by Hal Ladelahi, Christine Herman, and Sean Newman. Special thanks today to Sean Newman, who put together all of that audio you heard and produced that for us. Technical direction comes from Jason Croft with help from Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is our executive editor. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.